The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
4 championships in the last 5 years. Yeah, I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days, Marcus Boucher, Harney Graywall here to bring you a special football podcast in May. That's right, it's time for the NFL draft, and the Bay's Golden Days is going to bring you a full recap, go over the whole entire first round, break down the Raiders picks, and of course break down the Niners picks. But first off, we want to say thank you, because it was about a year ago this time when we put out our first podcast, our draft podcast from last year. So thank you to everybody that subscribed on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud. Follow us on social media at Bay's Golden Days. We want to say thank you, and let's kick it off and throw it back to our roots with the same draft intro we had last year and tell you why the NFL draft matters.
The first round of the NFL draft, a history of hilarity. 2003, Matt Millen accidentally drafts his pot dealer. 2005, the 49ers select this ass cupcake ahead of Aaron Rodgers. 2005, the Titans buy hundreds of strippers brand new Lexuses. 2007, Al Davis selects a 300-pound pet rock number one overall. The NFL draft is f***ing hilarious. Laugh your ass off Thursday.
That's right. Once again, the NFL draft matters. You don't want to end up with a cupcake, a pet rock, none of those players you want as a bust. So let's go ahead and look at the 2017 NFL draft. And guess who had the first pick overall? The Cleveland Browns. And hey, I got to give them credit. They didn't screw this up for once. They took Myles Garrett, number one overall out of Texas A&M, with Myles Garrett being the number one overall pick. That makes it 21 consecutive years where the number one overall pick has either been a quarterback, an offensive tackle, or a defensive end. That means you want franchise players, a guy who's going to protect your franchise player, or a guy who's going to go get the other team's franchise players. Those are the number one picks we're looking overall. Myles Garrett really did look like a superstar, looked like a freak with his shirt off, tore up the combine. He tore it up, and I really did like what the Cleveland Browns did in this draft. They ended the day with 3 first-rounders and still accumulated a first-rounder in next year's draft from the Houston Texans. They ended up getting Jabril Peppers, a great safety who can come in, play in the box. And then they also got David Njoku, a tight end out of Miami that really can do a lot of things offensively. They got some weapons, and then they even ended up getting DeShone Kizer. People expect him to go with the quarterback in the first round, and they ended up getting DeShone Kizer in the second round. Hey, at the end of the day, the Cleveland Browns didn't look like the Cleveland Browns, and they actually looked like a functional franchise.
No, definitely. I did not expect them to come out with the firepower and smart moves that they actually ended up doing, because Myles Garrett was flat out the number one pick. And there's no way to go wrong when you pick this man. This man is flat out of the field, especially in a, I would say, below average draft class this year. It wasn't deep, not as deep as like other years. Other years have been where once the first prospect goes, everybody understands it's the number one pick. There's not much left. But the Browns actually came out with some great picks after picking Myles Garrett and not going for Trubisky. I think that was the smartest move they've ever done in that Browns organization, especially at least in the last decade. But then they moved up and got Jabril Peppers, a universal man. He's almost like the Draymond Green in a sense. You don't even know where you could play him. They have him starting at safety. But is he really going to end up in that role? That man can play so many different ways. They can use him in so many different options. I could see them easily trying to incorporate him maybe as a slot receiver, maybe as a third down back. I just think that that man is more than just a safety. And that, by moving up, I thought the Browns had a lot of balls to do it. And I think it's going to pay off for them.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Hugh Jackson and all these picks. Hugh Jackson is a great offensive coach. We had him with the Raiders for a few years and actually was one of the few Raider coaches to get to 8-8 before he got fired. He wanted to build a bully. You see in this draft, he got a lot of athletes for this Cleveland Browns team. And it's going to be interesting what they do in the future. We saw they got 3 picks and still set himself up for next year, getting 2 first-round draft picks next year too. They really did a great job at stockpiling talent because they have so many holes on their teams. The team that ended up drafting in the number 2 pick was actually the Chicago Bears. And they ended up taking the opposite approach of the Cleveland Browns. They traded up one spot with your San Francisco 49ers. And that was really my biggest head-scratching move of the draft. It didn't make sense to me. They traded up one spot to take Mitch Trubisky, the quarterback out of North Carolina. First off, my thoughts on Mitch Trubisky as a quarterback, he only started 1 year at North Carolina. So all these people saying that he was the number one quarterback over Deshaun Watson, hey, they played in the same conference. Deshaun Watson started multiple years, won a national championship. So you tell me who's the better quarterback. I guess we'll see in the future if the Chicago Bears made it worth it to go up and move up just one spot. They must have thought the Niners were taking calls from someone else to trade into that spot. But the biggest thing, Mike Glennon, they just paid this guy $18 million, and then they invited him to their draft party. And then they drafted a quarterback right in front of his face. He said he felt like he got cheated on. Hey, I'm sure all the Bears fans felt cheated on with this pick that the Bears made, number two overall, Mitch Trubisky.
It's almost like the Sam Bradford situation last year, as if they brought him over, and then they end up drafting Carson Wentz, and he was huff. And why wouldn't you be? But Mike Glennon, I'm sorry, you don't have a rep as even of what a Sam Bradford has. Not saying Sam Bradford's elite. I'm just saying that. What they did when they drafted Carson Wentz is a lot worse in a sense, is because Mike Glennon, you have no real rep. I'm sorry. By drafting that, it's called security. This is all a business. They are trying to be secure. And for me, I understand, but they moved up only one pick. And as a Niner fan, I was glad about what we received. I was glad that we got two extra picks and only moved a spot down to get what we wanted, because at the end of the day, we knew our player wasn't going to get picked. I wish we could have dropped down more, but that's for the Niner segment. But for the Bears, I think they got a player that they actually truly wanted and they truly believe can end up getting them to where they want to go. They have a solid running back in Jordan Howard now. They lost Alshon. So that is where I wonder if they can actually get any productivity with the mediocre wide receiver talent they have. Yes, you have Jordan Howard, but if the defense stacks seven in the box, can this man get the ball out? And as you said, playing the same conference as Deshaun Watson. I'm sorry, you played in North Carolina. You did not see real big games. Whenever you did, you lost. So real talent is hard to see at that point. This is a pick where they picked basing off potential within the next few years.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They still got Cameron Meredith, a young up-and-coming wide receiver. We'll see what happens now. They drafted Kevin White a year ago. He was dealing with injuries. See if he can evolve now in his second or third year, I believe. And we'll see what the Bears can do. But you said they got so many holes, it would have been better off keeping these third-round draft picks and trying to add wide receiver talent. We saw Juju Smith go to the Steelers in the second round. But we'll keep on moving now, looking at some more playmakers as we skip over the 49ers and save that for our next segment. Let's look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, who ended up giving Blake Bortles some help and got a new shiny running back for that backfield. They took Leonard Fournette, the running back out of LSU. Hey, there's going to be a lot of competition. He's joining T.J. Yeldon and Chris Ivory in that backfield. They also added a left tackle, Cam Robinson, which is great. You want a franchise left tackle to help protect your quarterback. Blake Bortles, we saw, struggle with so many interceptions and get down early. I think it's a good job by the Jacksonville Jaguars to try to add some offensive pieces and build around them and see what they got in Blake.
No, I love the Leonard Fournette pick. I think this is a pick they needed. They need a running back that can be stable, not one that they need to interchange every goddamn down. I think that's something that's going to be stability, that's going to allow Blake Bortles to actually get a real flow in the offense. And that left tackle addition, that is huge. Allow him to be protected on his weak side. And Leonard Fournette is a big back that he can help out with blocking as well. And that's going to be the biggest key. If they can get Blake Bortles times, you know that man loves to air the ball. If he even gets another 1 or 2 seconds, his percentage is going to go up. The interception rate is going to go down. I love this pick. I think this was the best option for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they made it right.
Yeah, the Jacksonville Jaguars had a huge offensive playmakers, and the Tennessee Titans did the same, following them up with the number 5 overall pick. They took Corey Davis, a small school wide receiver out of Western Michigan, but this guy has put up some big combine numbers. He was hurt before, but physically, a lot of people are comparing him to Terrell Owens and his body and his stature and the way that this guy can get open and run routes. They also had another first-round pick where they took Adoree Jackson, the cornerback from USC, probably the fastest corner in this draft. You can also put that man at the return game. You can even put him in maybe some slot. He is a huge weapon to add, and that's just adding more pieces for the return of Marcus Mariota.
No, definitely. I think that they needed an option like this without any options getting injured, because that last year they literally ran Mariota and DeMarco Murray to the ground. DeMarco Murray's only getting 2 TDs even as a receiver in every single game. He was doing it on both sides, and I think they need some help on the outside for Mariota to get that passing percentage up, especially when he's on the run. They need a receiver that can get good cuts, get open for that offense, because the majority of the times the defenses are focusing on the run, because DeMarco Murray was such an X factor for them all season.
Yeah, they had a great exotic run game last year, one of the top running offenses in the league. It's going to be huge for Marcus Mariota to see if he can finally get that number one wide receiver. Following him up in the number 6 pick, we had the New York Jets going the opposite receiver and taking the first defensive back off the board, Jamal Adams, who had a lot of hype to potentially go top 3. I kind of like that fit with the Niners, but the Niners got their player out of LSU. Jamal Adams had an insane combine where he ran a 4.3 40. To add to that backfield, the Jets also took Marcus May, a safety out of Florida. So this has me questioning, because their there was some rumors about Darrelle Revis moving to safety later in his career. We'll see what happens now if he's going to stick at corner. But this is just perfect picks for Todd Bowles. He comes for that Arizona Cardinals defensive coordinator spot where they just had so many defensive backs. So you know you're just going to give him as many DBs as possible to build that defensive backfield in New York.
No, I agree with you about when you say the Niners. This could have been a potential pick for the Niners. I absolutely love this guy. I think he's good. He's a ball hawk, and he actually plays well, and he goes for the swat down instead of the hit, which I absolutely love. Because Niner fans, I'm only going to say, Deshaun Goldson, he could have got a lot more swat downs, and we could have saved a lot of yards if he didn't go for the hit, as much as the hit was amazing. And that's one thing I like about this guy, because he actually goes for the ball, and that's one thing this Jets team needs. As bad as their offensive deficiencies are, they need a defensive playmaker to actually come in there and allow their defense to not give up points and always have them trailing from behind. So I love this pick. I'm glad they went defensively instead of just thinking on the offensive mindset.
Yeah, one of the best defensive players on the board, no doubt about it, and getting a huge defensive playmaker, following them up in the eighth spot. Carolina decided to focus on their offense and get a huge offensive playmaker. Shout out to the boy straight out of Palo Alto, California, Stanford kid, Christian McCaffrey, running back from Stanford, going in the top 10. We see now Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, both sitting out there bowl game, said, whoop, it didn't hurt their draft stock too much because they still both went in the top 10. And I absolutely love Christian McCaffrey. I think he can do it as a running back, as a wide receiver, in the slot, as a return man. This man is so agile, and he's been tearing it up so long at Stanford, but no one stays up late enough on the East Coast to watch this kid play, so he didn't get no love in the Heisman. I think this kid's going to come into the league, him and Cam Newton running that read option. Oh boy, that's going to be dirty. The Carolina Panthers really did do a great job adding a dynamic offensive playmaker to this roster.
Yeah, unless you're the Golden State Warriors, nobody staying up to wait to watch you on the East Coast, as bad as that sounds. Even though this kid has got talent, this man is the perfect fit for the way this offense wants to be ran, how Ron Rivera wants to run this offense, and how it's been done. Exactly as you said, Marcus, that read option that they're going to be able to run is about to be effective for both of them. You know Cam loves that, except I know it would flourish if Cam is not still mentally abused about last season, about how many hits he took, the concussion. If he could still go back to being 2013-14 Cam, I think that this is going to be the perfect fit, because they saw Tolbert, and they can have a third down back and have a back still playing the slot receiver, as you said. He's a utility player. Any of these players are going to do you wonders in so many types of way for your offense. There's no one way to articulate on how a player this stature is going to be able to do you, because he's fast. He can make good cuts, and the man can read. He follows his blocks, and that's the smart thing. And he's from Stanford. You know he's got the IQ to understand any type of offense and be good with it.
That good old football IQ. Yes, I agree. I think he's going to be a perfect fit. He's still got a veteran, Jonathan Stewart, who's going to lead the way, take those first down carries. But hey, you can put both of them on the field at the same time. Christian McCaffrey in the slot. The Carolina's wide receiver coach actually came from Stanford, so that's a great connection right there. And we will see everything that the kid is able to do on offense. We'll talk about another wide receiver who went right after him with the number 9 pick. The Cincinnati Bengals took John Ross out of Washington, and speed kills, my friend. This is the man who climbed up everybody's draft board after breaking Chris Johnson's 40 record. Too bad he wasn't wearing Adidas, because he did not win that island. No more John Ross Island, but he said it's all right, because I can't swim anyways. That's a good mindset to have, and the Cincinnati Bengals are glad to have John Ross add another offensive playmaker to try to help out Andy Dalton. And then in the second round, they actually added Joe Mixon, who we all know from the controversy of him sucker punching that girl in the jaw. I don't know if it was a sucker punch. There were some racial slurs being thrown left and right, but you shouldn't put your hands on a woman. Yeah, I hope he's matured. I believe in second chances. Joe Mixon is a great talent, and he falls to the second round to the Cincinnati Bengals, who are known for taking troublesome players in the past. I think it's a good fit to see if he could get straightened out. We'll see what happens in Cincinnati.
I think that with AJ Green on that team, I think they might have been able to address other issues. But I understand where they went on the Al Davis approach, go for the speed, and the man's got hands, and like, when you break Chris Johnson's speed record, 40 record, that's impressive. I didn't honestly didn't think anybody was going to beat that except Usain Bolt. And that man came out there and he flat out beat it. And I think he almost took a stride off in that last second. So to me, this is a pick that you're valuing potential. You're valuing the potential that this man can bring, especially with Andy Dalton. You know that man loves to throw the deep ball. And this man can end up catching any deep ball that Andy Dalton overthrows at any point. He's got the speed. Can he show the hands, and can he actually route run is my concern. But I understand where the Bengals come from. I honestly love the Joe Mixon pick. I absolutely love the pick that they actually went up and got him. Look at the Patriots. They don't care if you have outside troubles. They picked up Michael Floyd right after he got done with his DUI. He might have only played one game, but guess what? He actually produced for them for that one game. He got that one catch that he needed. And this is a team that understands that. Okay, you make a mistake, double chances. You perform for us, we will be loyal to you. And I think that's what it's about to be. If he can actually perform and give Andy Dalton a solid back that isn't being inconsistent with Bernard and Hill, I think that they need consistency in that back position, because at the end of the day, it cannot just be Andy Dalton to AJ Green, because without AJ Green, if he gets injured, that offense becomes so stagnant, it's unbearable to watch.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Both these two offensive weapons are high risk, but high potential. They really did get based on potential and what they can do in the future. And then we'll look at the next pick, which is probably the biggest draft pick based on potential and what they're going to see as the future, as the Kansas City Chiefs, the playoff Kansas City Chiefs, drafted Patrick Mahomes, quarterback out of Texas Tech. They traded up with Buffalo and gave up next year's first round pick for a quarterback who won't even probably play next year. Think about that. And I just got to think about Alex Smith for a second. Once again, a nice light-skinned brother is coming for that backup job and just creeping on him quick. And I know Alex Smith is going to be having some nightmares, looking over his shoulder at Colin Kaepernick 2.0. That's the thing with Mahomes. He could be Colin Kaepernick 2.0. This is the guy that's athletic, has a huge arm, but has dealt with some inaccuracy issues. I think it was a lot for the Chiefs to move up all the way to number 10, give up their first round this year, and then give up their first round next year. It's a lot, but we shall see. Andy Reid is the quarterback guru. He seems to get his hand on everybody and be able to mold him, but I'm hoping for the sake of the Raider Nation that this was a bust and a waste of a draft pick for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think they're also worried about if Alex Smith gets injured, just because he has a tendency to deal with those little lingering injuries that end up happening. And I honestly think this kid, but by his build, he has the potential of being great, just because for how big he is, how much he stands over the line. But it's the same thing as you said, the accuracy. And that's the biggest key. Can you throw a ball correctly? Tim Tebow couldn't, and look where he's at.
Nope.
So this is where it comes down to. I know you're athletic, you can run, but at the end of the day, you need to become a pocket passer. The NFL has only shown any great quarterback has been a pocket passer to break down defenses. And I believe in this kid's IQ. I think he's smart and he's willing to learn. But I just don't know if he can master that accuracy, especially to overtake Alex Smith. So to me, I just don't see him, as you said, I don't see him making an impact this year unless something drastic happens to Alex Smith.
Yeah, you would think with a team like the Chiefs who are on the cup, who actually won the AFC West last year because of Derek Carr's injury, but they did win the division, you would think they'd just try to add a piece here, a piece there, a potential playmaker, especially if you're going to come all the way up to number 10 to try to get something to put you over the edge, but use your first round and next year's first rounder for a guy who's not even going to play next year.
A lot
year,
to give up.
It's a little questionable to me. We know that Mahomes has all the tools, and we shall see what happens in the future. But for now, he's just going to be backing up Alex Smith. They said we love Alex Smith, but he's getting old. Hey, there's a lot more older quarterbacks in the league than Alex Smith, but we shall see what happens. An old quarterback that's getting some help is Drew Brees, sitting at the number 11 spot for the New Orleans Saints. They address their defense with the number 11 overall pick, taking Marshawn Lattimore, a corner out of Ohio State, who was talked about being the top corner in this draft, and he slid all the way to a number 11. We all know how terrible the New Orleans Saints defense has been for so long, so this is huge, getting a corner right there at the number 11 pick. And then they also came back with the 32nd overall pick, which they traded Brandon Cooks to the New England Patriots, which I'm not a fan of that trade at all, but they ended up getting Ryan Ramczyk, an offensive tackle out of Wisconsin. That's huge for keeping Drew Brees healthy for however many years he has left. At the end of the day, this is all about Drew trying to get more players. They added Adrian Peterson. They added Alvin Kamara, another running back late to spell him, third down switch kind of scat back. It should be interesting to see how New Orleans look this year with all these new pieces.
I'm actually very happy they didn't go on the offensive sector, just because you know that team is offensive-minded with Sean Payton and Drew Brees being Drew and how much he airs it out. But I actually really love the fact that they went on defense. This is the best corner available in the draft, and that is an area that they definitely needed to address besides their run defense, but the only one worse than them was us. So to me, I think they went on the same almost perspective as the Niners did, because he was rated very highly for the Niners as well, this cornerback, and they were almost advising on picking him early in the draft process. Thank God we didn't, because I am actually happy with the pick that we had, because I just don't believe that there was no true corner to come in and make a stand and make an impact immediately. But for the Saints, anything on that defense will work, and you need a corner that can cover down these number one guys. And if this man's a do it, I think he was the best option all draft.
Yeah, he's definitely the best option for the Saints, and they instantly improve. You want to talk about another team that tried to instantly improve and try to improve at the quarterback position? That's the Houston Texans at the number 12 spot, trading up and taking Deshaun Watson. Man, you got to think about it. How they're a playoff team, how they had Brock Osweiler. You think about all the money that they paid Brock Osweiler, and he was so bad that the Texans traded Osweiler, a second-round pick, and two first-round picks just to upgrade to Deshaun Watson. We know the kid has the pedigree in college. He's got the winning national championships. He can do it all. But for some reason, he slid down the draft boards. In my opinion, I thought this was the best quarterback in the draft, and I love the fit here in Houston with the Texans. They're a playoff team in probably the worst division in football. Now you implement a quarterback that's probably going to have the most success as a rookie, I believe. We'll see what happens with Deshaun Watson with the Texans.
No, definitely. I just think that this is the perfect fit for him. I think that every other system that they would have tried to implement on him would not have went with his strengths. It would not have been a positive for either side. It would have taken a lot more time to get done. He has DeAndre Hopkins on the outside, Will Fuller. I think this team is going to be able to do very well with him if he ends up coming in there and being that initial starter, because right now that's a question mark. Nobody knows who their quarterback is. After they got rid of Osweiler, he's going to come in, and I think that he has the IQ and the will. That man has the will to win. You lose a national championship, you come back next year, and you ball out, and you end up winning that for your team. So it just shows how much pedigree this guy really has and how much intensity he brings with the game and the love for the game, and I think that he's going to do the Texans well, because you know that D-line is covered.
Yep.
They got Watt. They got Jadavian playing so many first man snaps last season towards the end with J.J. Watt's injury. I think their defense is set. If this man's going to be the one to piece all the puzzles together, because he's got options on every single side. He got Lamar Miller on the back. He's got wide receiver options. Now it's all about his play. And can that line just consistently hold him in the pocket? Because this is a man that can choose to run outside, but ends up staying pocket pass.
Yeah, I think Deshaun Watson has a great chance to instantly succeed. Kind of in a situation we saw Dak Prescott walk into with a great offensive line and a great running back. Well, it's kind of the opposite for Deshaun Watson. He's got great wide receivers and a great defense, a number one defense. This is almost more like Mark Sanchez. I should almost compare this to with his days back with the New York Jets. It's going to be interesting to see what Deshaun Watson can do with this number one overall defense. We know a team that's always looking to add more pieces to their defense, and that's the Arizona Cardinals. After a disappointing season, they went with their first pick and picked up Hassan Reddick, a linebacker from Temple who played all over the place, played outside, played middle. So they're going to have fun trying to find out where they're going to use him. And they also picked up a great safety, Buda Baker, in the second round out of Washington. They lost a couple safeties during free agency this past year. So we'll see what the Cardinals are able to do with Buda Baker stepping into that defensive backfield. The Philadelphia Eagles also stuck with defense and took Derek Barnett, defensive end out of Tennessee, a guy who got after the quarterback at a higher rate actually than Myles Garrett and actually put up more impressive numbers against SEC talent than Myles Garrett did, but he falls number 14 to the Eagles. They actually picked up Sidney Jones in the second round too, who fell, and they got a running back, Donald Pumphrey, who could be the next Darren Sproles, a little quickster out of San Diego State. And then we keep the defensive train rolling with the Indianapolis Colts, Malik Hooker. I think this was a huge pick, probably the second best safety in this draft class, and he falls all the way to number 15 to Indianapolis Colts, who have been hurting for defense for so long.
This is another team where, like the Saints, where I was so happy they didn't go on the offensive side. I just resort to their best player and like helping him out, because if anything, they needed offensive line help, but they needed defensive help, any way to help Andrew Luck to score less points to win a game. And I absolutely love this pick. I thought they went with a smart choice, just how the New Orleans Saints did. I think they were like almost in the same boat, and I think they both succeeded.
Yeah, great picks for the Saints and the Colts, those high power offenses, but they got to stop getting shootouts and play a little bit of defense. The Baltimore Ravens are always known for defense, and they take Marlon Humphreys, the cornerback out of Alabama. This is a decent pick. I think he's a good ball player, but I don't think he was the best cornerback on the board at that time. There was still Adoree Jackson, and there was still Gerrion Conley, who went to the Raiders later. But you'd know Ozzie Newsome loves his Alabama boys, so he had to take one of those Bama boys, and he ends up with Marlon Humphreys. But it looked like Bama was going back-to-back in his draft, because at number 17, the Washington Redskins took Jonathan Allen, defensive end out of Alabama. A lot of people projected him as a top-10 pick. He ended up sliding, maybe a few injury concerns, but it's good for him because he actually said that he grew up a Redskins fan, and now he gets to play for the Redskins. So that's a pretty good feel-good story.
Oh, that's always an amazing feeling on any sports perspective. But I absolutely love this pick by the Redskins, because I honestly were thinking, I was hoping that the Niners, that we could end up trading up in another sense to get this man, because I actually love his talent. I think that he can grow, and I think that any system that he gets into is going to flourish, just because he has the size and he has the technical ability and the fundamentals to get it done. I think that he's going to be a very good piece to fit in for that Redskins defense.
And then we keep the Alabama train rolling, as we already talked about Adoree Jackson going to the Titans. At the number 19 pick, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers took O.J. Howard, arguably the best tight end in this class out of Alabama. This guy had some huge games, but he didn't seem to really get utilized that much at Alabama. It's going to be interesting to see now the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with all these offensive weapons. You got Mike Evans on one side, Deshaun Jackson on the other side. You're going to have O.J. Howard line up a tight end, and we'll see the return of Doug Martin if that can add all these offensive pieces and really help to improve the involvement of Jameis Winston.
No, definitely. If Jameis Winston wants to have any chance at producing and being effective in this day of age of an NFL game, he has the pieces set up for him. There's no reason for him to fail. And if it does, it's going to be on him, not on the pieces that he got, because the Buccaneers have only helped to surround him with the great pieces, bringing in DeSean Jackson, having the already wide receivers that already have Mike Evans, and then bringing in a tight end who can actually get the job done. He's big. I think that run blocking is going to be the biggest concern. But besides that, this man's got hands and he's big.
Yeah, we'll see. Jameis Winston's got so many weapons now. I don't want to see any excuses. I don't want to see him overthrowing any more wide receivers or tight ends on that field anymore. He's got tons of talent. We'll move on to the number 28 pick, the Denver Broncos, the Denver Donkeys. Yes, they took Garrett Bowles, offensive tackle out of Utah, and it was such a great moment. He bring his baby out on stage, and everybody was like, oh, what a great guy. To distract from the fact that he's been arrested 5 times, kicked out of a bunch of schools, and just kind of a complete asshole. But hey, he's got his baby on stage. Look how cute he was, and the Denver Broncos weren't there. They took Jake Butt, tight end out of Michigan, I think it was a 5th round, which I actually think it was a good pick. He fell because of injury playing in a bowl game. And then with the Mr. Irrelevant, they took Chad Swag Kelly. Of course, they had to. Mr. Irrelevant, that guy's going to love it. He's live up to that hype. But the Denver Donkeys, decent draft, up, downs, but it certainly was an interesting one with all the picks that they made. And then we'll move on to number 21. We got Jerod Davis going to the Detroit Lions. He gets paired up with Tease Tabor, a safety out of Florida. 2 Florida boys going to Detroit to try to hold down that defense. The Miami Dolphins also went with defense at the number 22 pick, taking Charles Harris, a defensive end out of Missouri. And the New York Giants added one more offensive piece for Eli Manning. They also took his backup, David Webb, out of Cal. We'll see how that pans out for the future. But this guy, Evan Engram, tight end out of Ole Miss, he is a huge, fast tight end, but he doesn't block at all. So really, is he a tight end, or is he more of an oversized wide receiver? It's going to be interesting because they just got an oversized wide receiver, Brandon Marshall. There's going to be a lot of mouths to feed. Odell Beckham, Brandon Marshall, now Evan Engram. You still got Shepard in the slot. You got a lot of talent. We'll see what this Giants defense did, getting all that defensive talent last year. We'll see if they can all put it together, and we'll see how Eli Manning ends his career. At 24, we got the Oakland Raiders, which, of course, we're going to talk about later. 25 was the Jabril Peppers pick, and 26 was probably the most interesting, most entertaining pick of the draft just because of his post-speech to Kyrus McKinley, defensive end out of UCLA. Went off. It's like, this is what I came for. This, my grandma died for this, and I told her I was going to be here. Man, fuck this shit.
I knew he was going to curse.
Find me later, and find that man later, because that's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and he ended up not even getting fined. So there you go. Go out on the stage and fall out. Coming up next with the 27th pick, the Buffalo Bills stuck with defense as well. Took Tre'Davious White, a nice quarterback out of LSU after trading from that Kansas City pick. But this was the thing that scratched my head about Buffalo. Literally the morning after the draft, they fire their GM. They're just using him and abusing him. Throw it in the gutter and go get another. This was absolutely disrespectful to the Buffalo Bills. We'll see what happens there. And then we got, quote-unquote, America's team, the Dallas Cowboys.
America's team.
Taking Taco Charlton. What? America's team got America a guy named Taco? Tacos. Oh, I guess so. There's a taco on the Dallas Cowboys, America's team. And it seemed like a good fit for the Cowboys because they need defensive linemen after Randy Gregory, their draft pick a few years ago, just failed his 7th drug test. So you know the Cowboys are going through them left and right. And they added more defense in the 2nd round. Got to give a shout-out to Chidobe Awuzie, straight out the Bay Area. Played at Oak Grove High School and played with my boy Ricky at De Anza College. So shout-out Chidobe, holding it down for the Dallas Cowboys. It should be interesting to see what they do. More defense follows them up after we talked about the 29th pick to the Browns. And we got the Pittsburgh Steelers taking Mini Watt. Look at TJ Watt on the board. They went with the outside linebacker. And it's also interesting, in the 2nd round, they went with Juju Smith-Schuster, a great wide receiver out of USC. We got to see what's going to happen with Martavis Bryant. He's supposed to get reinstated, but the man can never stay on the field. He loves smoking weed. It's legal. Let the kid play. But either way, Sammy Coates was not too reliable last year. So they get a nice wide receiver out of USC who can come in and be reliable for Ben Roethlisberger. There were all those rumors about how Big Ben was going to retire, this and that. Well, now he's got another weapon to play with. And they actually might have took his heir to the throne, taking Josh Dobbs, a quarterback out of Tennessee. This is a real smart quarterback. He was like a rocket scientist, engineer, something in college, brainiac. But my favorite pick from the Pittsburgh Steelers was a long snapper. Yes, they took a long snapper. You're talking kickers, punters, and now we got a long snapper going in the draft. Man, oh man, falling up the Pittsburgh Steelers at 30 was the Niners. Coming back in to talk about Reuben Foster, we'll talk about that later. Then we talked about the Saints already. The Seahawks did not have a first-round pick, but it took Malik McDowell, defensive lineman out of Michigan. I thought it was kind of a head-scratcher with some good offensive linemen still on the board because the Seattle offensive line has just been tragic the last few years. The Packers also traded out of the first round, and it took
Oakland's own Kevin King. And then the Vikings had no first round pick, but actually getting Dalvin Cook, a guy that they think can be the heir to Adrian Peterson's role. They did pay Latavius Murray this offseason, but that's not a sure thing. So we'll see how Dalvin Cook steps in and fills the shoes of Adrian Peterson. And then we all know what the Patriots did. No first, no second, but they still got Brandon Cooks. They still got Coney Early, and they still find a way to add pieces to the Super Bowl champion. And it's not even fair. But Harney, at the end of the day, who out of the first round and who overall do you think probably had the best draft in your opinion?
I think a couple teams did well, but I think the Browns, by getting three picks in the first round, I think they might have done the best just because nobody expected them to do what they did. They came in and they got a great player who I believe is going to be a franchise player in Myles Garrett, but then brought in some utility pieces and they started filling up holes. They filled up a lot more holes than any other team were able to fill up within the first round. So besides that, I love what the Niners did. And that's not just me being biased. I absolutely, truly love what they did. I don't believe that any of the team was able to go in there and knock out two big roles that they needed to get done. And I love the Reuben Foster pick. I absolutely loved it, but I'm going to get in that later. But I truly believe that those, like, the top two teams actually did the work they needed to. Even though these other teams got their most of their share big good picks in the later rounds, I think in the first round, you can't even knock the Browns. They're almost last year's Jaguars.
Yeah, the Browns did great. I like what the Texans did, getting Deshaun Watson. They actually added Zach Cunningham, linebacker, and they also got Dante Foreman, a running back out of Texas. But, hey, why not? Let's talk about it now. Let's go ahead and talk about your San Francisco 49ers since they had the higher draft spot than the Raiders this year. Yes, I got to rub it in just a wee bit. And with that number two overall pick, they traded down to number three. And John Lynch was looking like a seasoned veteran, not looking like the rookie GM at all. Trades down one pick, scoops up a couple thirds, and picks up Solomon Thomas, defensive end out of Stanford, which makes it the third year in a row that the Niners have taken a defensive lineman in the first round of the draft. But you can't hate too much because they had an abysmal rushing defense last year. A historically bad rushing defense last year. Am I right?
No, 100% you're right. And it was terrible to watch. It was horrific. But I just hate that this is a third year in a row. It's a Pac-12 defensive lineman that comes out of it. Any other league, I probably wouldn't be happy. But at the end of the day, this is the best option possible. I know that the Niners organization would have been more preferred to drop down maybe in the seventh spot, and hopefully we could have got something better, but obviously this was the best option on the table. We got more than deserved for only moving down a pick and still getting the man that we were going to get no matter what. So at the end of the day, I'd give it a B+. It's a great pick to have when we're already going to pick it. There's so many other holes on this team to fill, so I wouldn't give it an A just because there's no way to get an A because you're not getting the number one pick. Myles Garrett, the only way to get that A, and we couldn't trade up, but we traded down, got a couple extra picks in later rounds, but still, I wish we could have ended up trading down and still in the top 10 because I believe this man still would have been there. And I wish we could have got a high number two in the second round pick. But at the end of the day, it's the best option available. John Lynch did well.
John Lynch did well. We see him with those Stanford ties to Solomon Thomas. And probably my favorite story leading into this draft is the true Stanford ties between John Lynch and Solomon Thomas. John Lynch went back to school at Stanford during Solomon Thomas's freshman year, and they were in the same class. Not just in the same class, they worked on a group project together. So how cool is that? You're a freshman playing football at Stanford. John Lynch comes in and works on a project with you. I'm sure they exchanged numbers then, got to know each other. But I do think it's a good pick. And for the 49ers with John Lynch, they said that he was the number two overall player on their board. Hey, if you got him at the number three spot, we're able to add a couple draft picks. I think that it was a good move overall. And then we look at what they did hopping back into the first round, adding Reuben Foster. This was a guy who John Lynch said was the number three overall prospect on their board. There are some issues here with his shoulder. There are some reports that he might need surgery and might miss next year. But that's good. It's not good, but it's not terrible for the 49ers because they're no way near in a win mode situation. And if he doesn't play, then you still have time to develop him. I know there's rumors about the 49ers switching to a 4-3 defense this year, trying to get Bowman back. Then where do you really play Bowman, in the middle or to the outside? Or you got Foster on the other side. I know you guys paid Malcolm Smith. Also, Aaron Lynch is still in the conversation at linebacker. So there are a lot of pieces there for the Niners. What do you think about your new linebacker situation?
Well, I believe that we're definitely going to go back to the 4-3 with our acquisition of the defensive coordinator, new position. So, but to me, I think Ray Armstrong is going to have that position covered once he's back healthy with Ahmad Brooks and Navarro Bowman. I just believe that this man was a great pick. I absolutely love this pick. This pick made me the most happy is the fact that we were able to be aggressive and move back up in the first round and grab somebody that we believe was a top three prospect no matter what on any board. And we were able to get him in the last seconds of the first round. Thought it's a great pick. We don't need him to pan out right now. We need him for the future. He's young, strong, and he comes from a conference and a coach of Nick Saban's quality. And you know that man is smart, and you know that man can get it done. He's very athletic, and he can get it done no matter what, any type of formation that we need him to.
Yeah, he is a great linebacker, no doubt about it, running downhill. I wanted him to come to the Raiders, but there were a bunch of teams that passed on him. I know Reggie McKenzie talked about it. The Raiders are more of a win-now situation. We see with them leaving Oakland in a few years, we can't afford to take a linebacker who's there, but I think it's a great pick for the 49ers. And if he plays and healthy, he runs around with his hair on fire. I loved his draft story where he said he was on the phone with the Saints at 32, and John Lynch called him, and he was like, "Coach, you at 34, you ain't gonna get me." And John Lynch was like, "Nah, we traded up." And he straight up hung up on the Saints. Was like, I'm a 49er. So I think that's big. A lot of people want to compare it to the Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman days. First off, you got to get Navarro Bowman healthy, returning from injury. And then you got to see what a healthy Reuben Foster could do. But overall, you got two potentially top three players on your Niners board. I think it's a great way to end the first round. And then they didn't have a second rounder because they moved up with the Seahawks. In the third round, we see the Niners go with long, lengthy corner. Tell me, what do you think about this third, fourth, fifth round, these later picks that the 49ers had?
It says that we couldn't get a second round pick because you know that there's a lot of great players that come out of the second round. But I actually like this pick just because he's smart. This man had a 4.4 GPA in high school. He can run a 4.45, which is very fast, and I think that speed can improve. But his intellectual capacity is what impressed me the most. I think he's going to be able to come in a position that we direly need after moving Jimmy Ward to safety because we are low on corners and we needed this position to be filled. I think he's a great athletic corner that can easily fill into the pieces that we have because our cornerbacks were absolute crap in the past couple years. We had nobody to help whatsoever on a zone coverage or a man coverage. We were getting beat at all times. I think that he's athletic and he can get the job done, and he led his conference in deflected passes. I think he's going to go for the ball, going to go and make sure that ball doesn't hit that receiver's hand instead of go for the pick, and I love that.
Hey, you got to love the San Francisco 49ers going after defense after just getting ran through over and over and over the most consecutive 100-yard games. They were getting torched left and right. It's huge that they go from defense. You want to build a franchise. Defense wins championships. The Niners know this from back in the day when they had one of the best defenses in the league. So you see with their first three picks, they go up and take three defensive players, but then they actually moved back into the third round and they go quarterback C.J. Beathard. Are Niner fans getting a hard-on for this guy? Because I barely heard of the guy. C.A. Beathard was actually the quarterback out of Iowa, and he's the only quarterback that John Lynch said that he had on his board. It should be interesting to see what he can do coming out of Iowa. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan compared him a little bit to Kirk Cousins. Do you see anything there, or is it more the Niners are still tanking, looking for one of those quarterbacks out of LA next year?
I definitely don't see anything to float your boat, honestly, just because – coming in the end of the third round, should have been probably a fourth or fifth round pick. Honestly, I don't think that he would have been picked up earlier than that. And I just don't see him making any immediate impact, even with a franchise like us who have no real clue about who our quarterback is going to be and actually run this offense for the entire year. I'm not talking about a couple games. I'm talking about the entire season. We do not have that. So I think it's automatically, it's a inaccessible, quote-unquote, great pick just because we need to add depth in that position. Honestly, anything helps at this point. But I don't think that he is going to do much for us. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't see him being too much of a playmaker, but then, hey, we never know. So I bet a bunch of people to think Tom Brady in the sixth round was going to be a playmaker. That's the thing with these NFL drafts. People love to give grades right away, but you don't know the grades until 2-3 years, probably until the rookie contracts are up. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Niners do at the quarterback position. In the fourth round, this is a pick that I actually liked. They traded up to get Joe Williams. This is a running back that has had some history in the past. He actually got kicked off of Utah's team for stealing a teammate's credit card, and he had a bunch of drama and personal issues to deal with. But then when he came back, he ran for over 300 yards versus UCLA. So this kid obviously has the talent, and the Niners move up in the fourth round because John Lynch said, "I didn't even have him on my board, but I just knew this kid was so talented." Called him up that morning and said, "Hey, we're going to draft a kid." And the Niners went ahead and found a nice backup for the injury-ridden Carlos Hyde in Joe Williams.
He's 5'10", 210. He's a short back, but he got a lot of power, and he runs a 4.4. That explosive speed is going to be able to help him. Because the one thing I see about this man, he's like Carlos Hyde in a sense, but a little more aggressive in his explosiveness, just because he can end up getting you that broken tackle, and then the yards after catch or the yards after run after he makes that first contact are going to be the ones that he's going to end up getting that are going to be huge for us, almost like a Dixon a couple years ago, or even a Delanie Walker when he was putting in those running hours for us in our back game with Frank Gore. It's going to be coming down to that. We got a big, hard back, bigger than Kendall Hurst, And I just think that he's going to be good for us. I think he's going to be a great backup to have in the same similar sense of a Carlos Hyde, so he can stay consistent with the offense that we're trying to run, especially with Kyle Shanahan. We don't know what he's about to implement this year.
Yeah, we see Shanahan do some great things with some running backs before in his time in Washington. We'll see what he can do. You guys actually got another running back trading a third-round pick for Capri Bibbs, adding a little bit more depth to that roster. A lot of depth from this roster comes from these later rounds, 5 through 7th, or any picks in the 5th through 7th rounds that really stood out to you?
I actually like the pick out of Iowa to get in the George Kittle at the tight end. I just believe that Vance McDonald is not going to be our key factor all season. The majority of his runs, the reason he got a contract extension was only because he ended up getting runs on plays of the game in the garbage time that didn't matter. He ended up breaking one sack and going off for an 80-yard run. This majority of his touchdowns came on those. So I don't believe is that being a key factor. I don't believe Vance McDonald has it in him to be our front runner tight end. And I think that George Kittle is going to end up giving this man a run for his money.
We'll see what happens. There's a lot of potential for late round draft picks. Overall, to give it a grade note, how would you rate the 49ers 2017 draft?
I loved it. Bringing it in with the offseason, I'd give them a high B plus, almost breaking that A minus joint, just because I would have given them an A minus if we were able to drop down a couple extra picks just to get Solomon Thomas. I just believe that he was there. I just wish we could have ended up, even with the trade that we did to get Reuben Foster, I wish that we still could have had a second round pick to get everything done, because that second round pick is so much more crucial than a 4th or 5th rounder.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You want to try to add as many picks as you want. At the end of the day, the Niners traded up, they traded down, and they went after the players that they wanted, and that's what you want to see out of a rookie GM. You don't want to see him sitting there being tentative. John Lynch went out there and made moves. He was aggressive, and I think that's a great sign for the 49ers as they start this rebuild.
Definitely more impressive than what I saw last year from Chip Kelly and that organization and what they were trying to do. I think that these guys are so much more poised, so much more confident in what they believe and how they believe to run the organization. And I think that's key, because your belief runs down from the beginning of the top all the way down to its players and to its fans. And these guys are showing off, and they're making us look good.
Yeah, we'll see. This is year one of the 6-year contracts. We'll see
for
both the men. So we'll see how it plays out for the San Francisco 49ers and see if they can get a quick turnaround, a quick rebuild, and try to follow some of the success that the Raiders have had with drafting with Reggie McKenzie. The man has been a master of drafting. So let's go ahead and jump straight into the Oakland Raiders 2017 draft class. And you know, I got to start it off with a little bit of controversy, because how could it not be with the Oakland Raiders? At the number 24 overall pick, we selected Gerrion Conley, the con man cornerback out of Ohio State. And yes, let me dive straight into the controversy. He got allegedly charged for allegedly raping a woman in a hotel. There are some misconceptions about the story of where they met. She said that they met in an elevator drunk. There's video of them at the bar meeting. I did some own investigating for myself with the guy who talked to both the eyewitnesses who were in the room with Gerrion Conley and this girl that accused him of rape. Apparently, it was like this big orgy, like a foursome thing almost, where this girl was knocking on the door saying, "Hey, I want to watch your friend get his dick sucked by this other girl." She walks in. She brings in Conley, starts sucking off Conley. Then Conley didn't fuck her and said, "You're trash. Get out of my house." This is all witness claims. And the second girl got kicked out also, and this girl said, "Hey, these guys are both going to get drafted. Let's say that they raped us." One girl said no, one girl said yes. And now this is where we're at in the allegations. So it is quite a tricky story. It's got to suck for Gerrion Conley. I mean, if it's true, a terrible thing you did. You should have never, I never condoning rape or anything like that. But then on the other side, I've seen it personally. I've known people who've got locked up. There was just an E60 about a guy who was an NFL draft prospect, got locked up in jail over a face rape allegation. I mean, it happens before. We'll see what happens with the con man. The NFL already said that they're not going to discipline him because this action happened before the NFL draft, so he was not an employee of the NFL. But if he gets cleared and everything's good, I think this is an A draft pick for the Raiders. You want to talk about an athlete. This kid's 6 foot, 195, ran a 4.440. And without all these allegations, all this controversy, he was a top 10 to 15 draft pick. He led the nation in opposing quarterback rating, holding him to just 15.6, a 37 completion rating. This guy was all over the field. He can play outside. He can play inside. This guy is a freak athlete who shouldn't have been there for number 24, but because of the bad situations, he was. And I'm so excited to see the con man come to the Raiders, pair him up with that defensive backfield. I'm still giving Sean Smith another year. He battled some injuries last year, but we saw him bounce back this year. But the Raiders really wanted to improve those DBs and limit those big plays that we were giving up game after game last year. And they did that not only with the first pick, but also with the second pick. With the 56th overall pick, we took the Obi-Wan Kenobi, Obi Melanufwa, out of University of Connecticut. And if you want to talk about freak athletes, this kid is a freak. 6'4", 225, ran a 4.440, a 44-inch vertical jump. He's nicknamed the freak because he is all over the field. This guy can match up on tight ends. He's played in the slot at the Senior Bowl. He was matching up one-on-one playing corner. He's got speed and jumping ability. This guy was all over the field and really did boost his draft stock at the combine, putting up freak numbers just like we've seen UConn do it before time after time again. And we see the Raiders once again digging in the barrel at the Senior Bowl. Reggie McKenzie loves his experienced players. And hey, it's worked out to be successful before. He didn't stop there. In the third round, they went ahead with the 80th pick, took Eddie Vanderdoes, a defensive tackle out of UCLA. He was also a participant in the Senior Bowl. He is a big 6'3", 305 pounder, 28 reps on the bench press. But hey, his weight is really up for grabs. This was a guy who was a number one defensive tackle recruit out of high school, coming out of the Sacramento area, went to UCLA, balled out, tore his ACL, put on a little weight, came back as a nose tackle, shedded 30 pounds before the combine, played in the Senior Bowl, and looked like a whole different player. So the Raiders definitely have a lot of potential there with the third round draft pick, Eddie Vanderdoes out of UCLA. And then we go to the fourth round where Reggie McKenzie is digging once again for one of those late round offensive linemen. He took David Sharp, offensive tackle out of Florida, with the 129th pick. He is a big 6'6", 343-pound left tackle, and he has protected Jack Del Rio's son playing quarterback at Florida for the past couple years at college. There were some reports that he might be blind in his right eye, but Reggie McKenzie said this guy can see and this guy can hit. He is definitely a project player. We don't need him stepping right away, but we shall see with Donald Penn being up there in age a little bit. We lost Melonick Watson going to the Broncos. I think David Sharp's going to be able to fill in great, and we also got another offensive lineman in the seventh round. I'll jump straight to Jillian Ware. This is a raw prospect out of Alabama State. You want to talk about looking for some big men at small schools? This guy is 6'8", 295 pounds, flexible, athletic, and really is a small school sleeper. We'll see for that 6'8 frame. 295 doesn't seem like that much, so we'll try to put some more size and strength on that guy. We'll talk about size and strength right here with the fifth round pick, 168 overall, Markell Lee, linebacker out of Wake Forest. And this is one of the picks I'm most excited about. I wanted a linebacker in the first round, I won't lie. Reuben Foster was there. Gerard Davis was already off the board. We ended up waiting until the fifth round, taking Markell Lee, and I'm not disappointed. This kid is 6'3", 240, was all-conference ACC in 2016, and he is a true downhill run-stuffing linebacker. He can just go in there on first down, second down, and then come out, kind of like we see Spikes do back in the day for the Patriots. We can see this guy come in, make some plays, compete right away, and try to do some great things for this Raiders defense, who is really missing a big run stopper in the middle. After trading out the sixth round, in the seventh round with the 221st pick, we took Shalom Lawani, a safety out of Washington State, a nice little super Samoan flying all over the place, 5'11", 202, had 157 tackles in 2 years with 8 interceptions. He's going to come in and contribute right away on special teams. And then my favorite seventh round pick, this kid with the 242nd pick, Elijah Hood, running back out of North Carolina, 5'11", 232. He had an injury-ridden 2016 season, which dropped him late in the draft. But back in 2015, he had the 13th highest Pro Football Focus rushing grade in the country. He also led all of the FBS backs with 4.1 yards after contact per attempt. He ran for over 3,000 yards both his junior and senior year of high school. And this guy was just stoked and excited to be a Raider. He cried on a conference call and said, "I literally wanted to be Marshawn Lynch. I literally want to be Marshawn Lynch." Guess what? Marshawn Lynch is a Raider. You can pencil that in for a sixth-round draft pick because the beast mode is in Oakland. You want to talk about signings, offensive playmakers? We got beast mode, Jared Cook, Cordell Patterson, all in the offseason just to add to this draft class. And overall, I think this was a great draft class for the Oakland Raiders. If everything sorts out right with Conley, I think this is easily a B+, A-, maybe an A grade with all the potential that we got in this draft. A lot of big men, a lot of guys with speed and talent, and that's what the Raiders need. It's so nice being in a position where the Raiders don't need guys to instantly step in and be impact players. Now we need potential guys. Now we just need a little guy here, a little guy there, an offensive tackle, a DB, because the Raiders truly are on the edge of contention, and man, oh man, I like this draft class, and I really am excited about the Raiders 2017 season.
No, I definitely agree with you. I think this Raiders draft class was actually perfect in a sense that they addressed what they needed to have. They had their offensive issues completely handled. Derek Carr's the only question mark, but I think he's going to be back healthy. I know he's been working out to make sure he's ready. He was already ready to be back for the Super Bowl if they made it. Right. So I know that man is working hard. He knows how good he is and how much his team needs him. They have the offensive weapons to get it done. Beast mode coming in, as you said, and I think that they were very smart, and Reggie McKenzie's done this from the beginning of when he became that GM. He's focused on the team's needs, and look what they've done. They drafted two defensive players who are better than what they were at their draft rank. I think they should have been even better picks. I thought Conley was much higher drafted. I think that allegation literally helped the Raiders out in so many ways just because I thought he was a lot better than Adoree Jackson. That was my personal opinion. I know, obviously, most people wouldn't agree with it, but I would honestly believe that he's more athletic and have more potential in an immediate impact than other players. So I think the Raiders did very well in their draft.
Yeah, no doubt about it. With Gerrion Conley and Obi-Wan Kenobi, we can go straight to the defensive backfield, and it's going to instantly be improvement over last year. That was the biggest horn in the Raiders' foot. It was just big play after big play after big play. I like all the potential that we got on defense. We talked about the potential offensive weapons, and I'm loving what I'm seeing from the Oakland Raiders so far. And I love this draft class, and man, oh man, I'm just so excited for the next two seasons because it's Super Bowl or bust. You hear me pounding the goddamn table over here. It probably sounds bad. I'm sorry. But it's Super Bowl or bust for the Oakland Raiders. We got 2, maybe 3 years left. I didn't even go on my big Las Vegas rant yet. But I'm going to save that for 2 years. Don't you be disrespecting me and coming to me saying, hey, the Las Vegas Raiders, are you still going to be a fan? Motherfucker, this is Oakland for the next 2 years. We are the Raiders. We are the Raider Nation. It doesn't matter where the Raiders are playing. The Raiders were in L.A. when I was born. You think that's going to change me being a Raider fan just because of the location? Hey, newsflash, I don't care. I'm not one of those guys where, you're from the city. You got to be a fan of the team. Nope, be a wolf. Don't be a sheep. Don't be a follower. I'm cheering for my Oakland Raiders for the next 2 years. I know that some fans are saying, hey, well, they're leaving us. We got to forget about it. Nope, this is my team. And for however long that the Raiders have Derek Carr, Khalil Mack, Amari Cooper, Gabe Jackson, the list goes on, those will always be Oakland Raiders in my heart.
And this is why we do this, and this is why we do it together, because you want to know one thing that's key? Loyalty.
Loyalty, and that's what we got right here in the Bay Area. 1 year of podcast down, over 1,000 downloads. We rep for the Raiders all year. We rep for the Niners all year. And you know, we're going to continue to bring you everything from the Bay Area, from Warriors, Giants, maybe a little bit from the Oakland Triple A's. But we'll save that for how they kick the Raiders out for my big Las Vegas rant. But at the end of the day, this is the Bay's Golden Days. You can follow us on Instagram, iTunes, at Bay's Golden Days. Check out our website, bgdsports.com. Make sure you follow us, check us out, send some love, interact with the fam. It's all good. It's Bay's Golden Days for life. We out.
Steady gold. Pony boy.